This podcast is sponsored by RPG Sessions, an online role-playing tool for Genesis and Star Wars campaigns. Learn more about their character sheet, virtual game table, and Discord bot at rpgsessions.com.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role. www.d20radio.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number 38 of Tabletop Tales Presents the What Comes After podcast. Yes, you heard that right. I thought I had lost this episode to some data corruption, but we were able to recover most of it and re-record the few lines that needed it. Before we get to the show, let me tell you about another great podcast on the D20 Radio Network. The Genesis Archives is a Genesis actual play podcast set in their own urban fantasy setting, the Unseen World. You can find them at anchor.fm/thegenesisarchives or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's get to the show. Open up on the five of you in a small clearing in the woods, kind of standing, waiting. It is about 2 hours or so since Marcus received the message that you should find a spot where she can come to you without others seeing. And there is a moat of purplish light that sort of materializes and slowly at first and then quickening builds into a flash, and she is standing before you, Fedorova. Her face is concerned.
Piper resists the urge to kill her on sight.
Well, that's good.
We received your message.
The two of them left in the night before dawn. All I know is they went in separate directions. Shane to a spot pretty close to here on a small body of water. I'm not quite sure where Wilcox went. Were you able to find anything with your research?
We're pretty sure we know where it is.
But you haven't retrieved it yet?
There's other concerns with its retrieval once we dig it up. Do you know what body of water they went to?
Hopefully he went to the ghost ship.
Ghost ship?
It's a long story.
Right.
But I'm going to pull out a map and see if she can indicate and...
She isn't like it's that place right there, but she kind of indicates that it's that area near Assawamsett Pond.
Isn't that the area we were just in?
Yep.
Sounds like they have, because we're pretty sure that area is where the conduit is to be found.
Damn it.
You haven't found it yet?
We're hoping to have something to put it in once we found it.
Well, unless you have that now, that may not be an option.
Luckily, we warned the dragon. That might be a possibility.
What?
Which direction did Wilcox set off in?
He moved southwest from their base of operations, but I don't know where.
Okay. Jack.
Yes.
Who do you think we moved to intercept?
Wilcox was headed in the direction of Assawampset Pond.
No.
Shane. No. Thank God.
Shane is headed that way. Wilcox was going southwest from their base camp, which I think is, what did we say? It's in like the Taunton Attleboro area?
It's Cumberland area.
Oh, okay.
He is roughly heading for the other location that you guys thought right. might be possible.
We don't know which one of these locations contains the conduit, correct?
We thought it was near the...
We won't know that until we actually dig it up and have it in our hands. But we're pretty sure if that's what we're concerned about, Shane should be our target.
If you're more confident that the conduit is located in the area where this Shane character is proceeding, then I believe that is the direction we must head.
Tyler, how far out are we time-wise from when we're supposed to meet up with Shara?
You are just shy of 2 weeks.
I don't think we have the time to wait.
I was going to suggest that we confer with her and her people and split up to try and attack both targets, but it's not going to happen.
I don't think we should split up.
No, there is some merit to that plan, but I, perhaps with Shane, but not Wilcox.
Absolutely.
If we are going after Wilcox, we need to bring everything to bear on him.
I need to get back before my absence is noticed.
Right.
Do you need anything else from me?
Did Shane bring any sort of an accompaniment with him?
Yes, but I don't know. He brought men with him. I don't have exact numbers.
Information would help next time.
As I told you before, child, they've cut me out. Just the information I have put me in great danger.
Oh no. I'm so sorry for you.
But we won't hold you any longer then. You should get back.
What time and day is it right now, Tyler? Is this early morning or is this late night?
It's early morning. It was soon after sunrise that he got the message and she suggested essentially like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I mean, I wouldn't say it's super early morning, but it's morning.
Yeah. Okay.
She steps back and says a few words and disappears in a flash of purple light again.
Ugh.
Should have asked how she gets such great distance with that.
Well, I'm sure we'll be seeing her face again.
Right. Do we believe her?
Do we have a choice?
I don't think so, no.
What are we going to do about the conduit?
First thing to be done is to stop Wilcox or his people from getting it.
Right. Should... Oh. Should we bring others with us? Should we try to form a larger party? Or continue as a small strike team?
How confident am I in the ability of the men I've been training as a militia?
They'll do in a pinch.
No, they're better left here in defense of the settlement.
Tyler, is Ryan available to me or no?
He is not back yet.
Okay.
Technically, it would be today, but mm-hmm. you guys don't know that.
Right. Okay.
Are we going to set off immediately then? Head back exactly where we came from?
I would think so. Look, we know... I'm not very good at all of this, but we know what Shane... We have an idea of what Shane is doing, right? In terms of his combat approach. He's going to be in one of those big robo-suit machines.
With more of his robot golems with him.
Right, and from what we've been told, he has some sort of power... It's similar in nature to Piper's, it seems. So we should probably, I mean, we are all learned here to an extent. We need some anti-electricity gear. Time is of the essence, yes, but we should figure out how we can best shield ourselves.
You mean like rubber boots? Because I don't really think we have time to test any theories by having Piper shoot it.
I'm afraid we didn't cover this in recruit training.
I think maybe we need to see Martin and get some waiters.
You gather whatever supplies you need. I'm gonna go make some other plans.
Okay, so let's say we depart in the hour.
Waiters, do you mean the wellies with the trousers attached to them?
Yes.
I'll go with you, Doc, to gather them.
They don't usually have people fishing from the shore. Mm-hmm. So you don't think that they might, that they're going to have those. Most of those that go out don't wear them on the boats.
I say, no, the people you're going to have to go seek are the people who are going clam digging.
Right. We're in Plymouth. I'm assuming we're getting clams.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. You're right. Okay. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know what protection they actually are against magical lightning, but you know.
Probably none at all, but we'll
no,
find
probably
out.
Not at all. But it makes Doc feel a little better until he has to try to run one of those fucking things.
Yep. You can save yourself the trouble and not procure a set for me, thank you.
I will get one anyway. You're talking to a doctor.
All right, so what's David doing then?
I am going to two places to potentially, because our plan was to, after getting the conduit, go directly to the crater and not bring it back to Plymouth. Especially since we're in, doesn't seem like we're going to have a storage unless Piper can build it in the van on the way driving there.
Right. Yeah.
But I am going to go talk to probably starting with Kennard, and then potentially bring Kennard with me to talk to Henry. Is that his name?
Gregory.
Gregory and Brianna.
No, I was talking about talking to Henry Feldman to tell him what our plan is.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I'm not going to just go to Gregory and take him and not tell the person who acted as his foster parents.
Yeah.
That's awful. And, you know, Henry spent more time with Gregory than us and knows probably the best way to break it to him. Essentially, I'm going to put Kennard in charge of Gregory and he can go find Brianna on his own. There's only a small amount of time.
Right. They can all get on the back of Gregory's dirt bike and make their way to the crater.
Okay, you're able to find him. He's probably just sort of getting ready for the day or getting out and on patrol.
There's one other name I need that I can't remember. Our friend, the zookeeper.
Julian?
Yes.
You do not have a direct way to contact him. You could certainly attempt with, like, magic.
It was going to be either that or sending, warning Kennard about him. That was the other thing, because if they go to the crater, there's the possibility Julian might, you know, show up to see who the hell they are. It seems, you know, close enough to his sort of area that he took notice of it the first time.
Right, yeah, I mean, you're able to find him pretty easily. He's getting ready to head out on a, you know, just a kind of a walk around patrol of the town.
Kenner?
Yes.
I think what we talked about might be happening soon. We've received word that someone working with Wilcox might be close to finding the object we were I talked to you about.
Okay.
I think we plan on leaving soon to go recover it, and once we do, we're not bringing it back to Plymouth. So I was thinking about having you and Brianna take Gregory to the crater that I talked about with the sort of spire. That's to be prepared to have the opportunity to go back if you want it, but I think things are going to move quickly once we get the conduit.
Oh, okay. He's very, very flustered about it, as if you had spoken to him about this a short time ago, and he has not put any thought actually into what he wants to do.
Like I said,
that's perfect.
All right. Okay. So you want me to go get Brianna then?
Yes, we can gather Brianna and go get talk to Henry about getting Gregory and giving him the opportunity. Because, like I said, I think it's going to move quick. I'm not telling you guys to go home. I'm just saying that the opportunity is going to happen soon, and I want you guys ready for it and there for when it happens to make that choice.
All right. I believe Brianna was just getting on at one of the warehouses then. You guys are able to go get her. She is similarly flustered, though not more in the didn't expect this to happen so quickly. It seems that he did tell her. And she seems more receptive to leaving, going home. But you guys are then able to head over to the Fellmans.
I'll knock on the door.
Henry comes to the door. What can I do for you, gentlemen? And
where's Gregory at the moment?
He's upstairs.
Did we discuss with him about going home?
No.
No.
That's what I thought.
We think soon there may be a chance for Gregory and those who wish to return home to have the chance to. And if that's going to happen, it is going to happen somewhere else. And we want to talk to Gregory about that potential option because it's, we think, going to happen soon. Not something that's been a possibility for that long. It's something that came to our attention recently, but we didn't want to get Gregory's hopes about returning up without it being so close to potentially happening.
I don't think it's a good idea to move him somewhere like that. He's a young kid. You go do what you need to do. And he looks over at Kennard and Brianna. The three of us will talk to him and get him ready. And I assume the two of you will get ready to go. And you can either send word or I just don't think it's safe if things are going to get as frantic as you're saying they are.
I don't think safety is going to be guaranteed, but like I said, I think this might be his only chance.
I understand. But if safety is not guaranteed out there, it's at least possible here. I understand what you're saying, David, and I appreciate that. And I understand the need to possibly move quickly on this. As I said, he's a child. And he is, I don't want to say he has regressed, but he is in a fragile state with everything that's gone on. He's been here for several months now, and I just don't think it's wise to put him out there like that.
Why is it not? If he misses the chance, I think it'd be far worse than anything else. If the chance exists for him to go home, he has family. You.
I agree.
You know how precious that is.
I do. But how dangerous is it going to be out there?
Honestly, I don't know. The thing that's we're going to use to send him back, there's other people who want it. And if they get it, they're going to do awful things with it. Which is why we're going to use its power and get rid of it by doing something good and sending those who want to go home back home.
Okay, just give me one second here. I want to take a peek at. I'm going to have you make a check, but I got to
see if I'm going to get any sort of.
Well, yeah, I want to figure out what his difficulty.
I imagine this is the guy, and he like says 1 second and closes the door and leaves David there on the porch while he sneaks out the back door with the kid under his arm.
And I assume you're looking at his like motivations and such to determine any setbacks.
This character doesn't have that many motivate. He's not that put together. A charm check. I never sat it out. Like, there are very few NPCs that are actually sat it out. Go ahead and give me just a hard charm. I'm going to give you 2 setback dice because he really doesn't want to send him away in the context of what you're suggesting.
1 success with 4 threat.
All right.
To be fair, I don't think it's your choice to make. I know you're worried about his safety and have his best interests in your heart, but if he misses this opportunity because of it, like I said, I think it's going to be far more damaging and
okay, how do we spend the threat?
Some of the threat could be the fact that he did say Gregory is upstairs and we might have gotten a bit loud. Dragging him into the conversation earlier than any of us really planned to. I don't know if that's all 4 threat or just some of it.
No, I think that might be all 4 threat, but how do you guys think he reacts?
I mean, if he's a kid and he's slightly regressing, he's going to want to go home and demand to go home.
I think he wants to go. I mean, he was pretty...
Well, but remember, this is threat, too.
Well, right, which means it would be putting him into the dangerous situation.
I see him being like aggressive with us and not listening to reason.
Threat or advantage aside, if you're asking for the character motivation, if I were that kid in that situation, I'd want to get home.
Oh, I got it. He sneaks out.
Oh, yeah.
We find him later on, like, in the van when we're halfway there. In a box or a barrel or something.
Or we start driving and we find him on his bike.
Or that.
Doesn't work.
That's true. Yeah. He's got none of his space gas from whatever planet he's from.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, you could sneak out and just rant, he rips out of there.
No, we find him in the van later.
Yeah,
okay. All right, so
that's he crawls out of Mitten's belly compartment.
He's been Mittens all along.
Oh, whoa.
Mittens no longer moves now. Like, oh.
Henry agrees that it isn't his decision at the end of the day to make, and decides to go upstairs and get Gregory and bring him in on the conversation.
However, he comes back downstairs white-faced. He's gone. His window was open, and he's gone. Henner sort of looks around and looks back at you, David. You guys go do what you need to do.
I see if you can find him and
I'll get him to. In finding him. You show me where this is. I think we can make it there.
All right. I'll pull out a map and show him where the crater's located. And the person who told us about this is a man named Julian, who rides around on a large flying sort of quadrupedal owl-faced creature. If you see him, let him know what's going on and that we...
All right, now I am going home.
That trouble may follow us, but we're planning on going to that crater to use it to send you back, and that he should be prepared for trouble from Wilcox's forces.
All right, so he and Brianna rush out, Henry on their tail, as they start calling out for Gregory. Now we have, where was Jack going?
I think he's just going to gear up. He doesn't need any rubber booties. And
I mean, he's getting them anyway, but sure. You can...
So Jack's just kind of getting the normal stuff together for the van.
Yeah, Jack probably goes to get the van and ammo and everything else.
Is the gun still attached to the top of the van?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is why I was saying maybe we should bring a couple of, like, just a guys with us and throw them out there. Because one could watch the van up in the turret gun, you know?
I don't want to get just a couple of guys horribly slaughtered.
Ah, come on. What's the worst that could happen?
We leave them with the van, and then as an object lesson, Tyler kills them and destroys our van.
I mean, at this point, we're going to bring somebody who knows how to fire a gun by your training to hold that spot. Or we're going to have the kid do it who's hiding in the van.
So. I've been teaching them how to use bows and arrows because we don't have guns.
Yeah, okay. And Doc knows how to use a bow and arrow. So.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, son. You're in the army now.
All right. So while Jack's packing up the van, at one point he puts a couple boxes in there. And as he turns around, we see Gregory, like, sneak in and get behind the boxes.
Classic Gregory.
Yep. I remain blissfully unaware of this.
Yep.
Yes.
I do.
Yep, I'm not even going to ask you for a check.
Nope. Perfect.
No, you're busy.
You are four threats worth of unaware that kid just got in there.
I mean... Clearly, I have no situational awareness when it comes to children. I buried a magic shotgun in front of your sorcerer's apprentice.
I'm not a sorcerer.
Whatever.
I'm a warlock.
I don't magic.
Yeah.
I don't do freaky deaky Dutch.
That's off-air show canon from Tyler, because I asked him what Doc would be, and he said he's a celestial warlock.
Of course he is.
All right, so Piper and Doc are heading down to the waterfront.
Yes.
Piper believes that Marvin hates her at least of the whole group.
Marvin or Martin?
The non-pervy brother.
Marvin.
Marvin.
Did someone say Martin?
No, no one did.
Piper can't stand Marvin.
Hey, yo, Piper, if the cat is a deal breaker, she can come too.
I swear, I am not above.
Somebody else walking down the street just goes, what does that even mean?
there's like a super bright magnesium flare flash of light in front of its face. Like, psst. There you go, Martin.
I whisper to Doc. So I may or may not have created an army of mechanized ants lying in wait to be activated in Martin's bed. Is that bad, hypothetically?
Martin's down for anything.
I mean, it's not as if I filed their little feet and fangs into deadly sharp little pinpricks.
Do you know how industrious ants are? If you have an army of ants, we should bring the army of ants with us. There are enough, I'm sure that there are enough bugs plaguing. I shouldn't say that. I'm a doctor.
What?
All right. You say that.
Oh, hey. The wolf's here, too. I'm kind of into that.
Oh, God. I'm out. Fuck this.
Oh, God. I'm here.
So you guys arrive at the waterfront.
Okay.
Marvin's shack that he uses as an office.
Mm-hmm.
He is sitting in there filling out something.
Okay. Now, we're headed to a pond area, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take a boat, too.
You already have a boat. You never returned the boat.
Oh, we just brought it back. We got there, didn't we?
I thought
it's still on the van, on the trailer.
Oh, no, I absolutely would have returned the boat when we got back. That's on me because I forgot we got home. Plus, it's going to make this scene way more funny.
Hmm.
Marvin, good morning.
Yeah, I guess it's a good morning. What do you want?
I brought my friend the doctor with me.
Marvin, good to see you again.
You as well.
We're going to be, you know, we go out on these expeditions and other things for town security and safety. We're going to be in a swampy kind of marshy area. Do we have any, like, you know, those like clam diggers, waders?
He sort of looks you up and down trying to... think I got any for somebody as tall as you.
That's okay. I'll make do with what we have. There are 5 of us. Do we have them to spare?
Why don't you give me a negotiation check?
Oh, okay.
This will be... I'm going to call it hard.
Can I tag in?
I'll give you a boot.
Can I tag in Kara's Row for this one?
We'll call this, we'll give this a boost die.
Okay.
Because you did return the boat last night.
And I didn't ask for it back yet, so he doesn't know how to take it again.
Is Marvin fond of Piper? Like,
Marvin's not fond of anyone.
Right. But out of everyone in the world that he's not fond of, does Piper, like, not annoy him? Like, I imagine she's helped fix things at the dock.
He's
just as surly as with everybody, but maybe he doesn't necessarily always
get snippy with Piper.
Yeah.
He probably brings some coffee.
That's 0 success and 1 advantage.
Oh, I was trying to fish for another boost die for you.
I can go ahead and roll another boost die.
Yes. It's a blank.
Oh.
Good work, Piper. So that's zero success. One advantage. So maybe he's got like two pair instead of five.
He's got a pair. He's got two pairs, mm-hmm. but they're both pretty much the right size for a Piper.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
they're not rubber or neoprene. They're like like that PVC type material.
Oh, they're like a poncho type of deal?
Yeah, yeah. That. I mean, with your training, you don't think that they'll.
No.
When that lightning strikes, it's gonna melt the plastic, and you're gonna look like a grilled cheese sandwich.
It's gonna right. It's gonna exacerbate the burns and provide something that would cause sepsis. So no, that's not. It's not really what we want.
It's gonna seal in all those lovely burny juices.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Marvin, but I don't think that that's gonna do exactly what we're looking for. I could check with the quartermaster, though, see if maybe she's got something there. Okay, so I'm going to just have Jack bring the van around, and we'll hook up the trailer, and we're going to get going.
Wait, what? What do you mean, hook up the trailer? You just brought that back.
You know, for the dinghy.
Uh-huh.
We have to go out onto the marsh. Oh, the mayor didn't come and tell you this?
No.
Okay. We have to go as an expeditionary unit out onto the marsh. So that's why I was looking for the, you know, the waders, something a little durable to keep some of that away. But also we're going to need the boat. We'll need the dinghy.
Give me a deception check.
Oh man. I just don't want to tell him we're going to fight a giant robot firing laser bolts.
You are lying.
Yes.
I need a deception check. This is going to be hard.
But you get that extra boost, right, DM?
You get one boost.
Yeah.
He isn't lying, but he thinks he's lying because I completely forgot that one of the things I do every time I get back into town is
check in with the mayor. Yes.
I check in with the mayor and update her on our hijinks.
Yeah, and because of that, and I know that Jack does that, I am spending a story point to be brilliant.
Ooh.
That's probably a good call.
Probably.
Oh, not a good call.
Oh, no!
Two failures, but three advantage.
Last week's rolls have come home to roost.
The advantage is that Marvin blames Doc and not Piper for this fib.
Hey, you can blame whoever he wants. I'm going to take that thing anyway, regardless of what Marvin says.
Oh, boy.
Well, Doc, then the mayor's going to need to come down here and let me know that you still need the boat. Because...
Oh, come on, Marvin. Listen, are you going to use the boat today?
Maybe.
Well, maybe. I just won't survive our trip because we won't have a boat, and then who's gonna bring you coffee
or save the town, which is generally what we've been doing every time,
right?
We go
saving
out.
The town is important as coffee, please, Marvin.
If you really want me to go and get the mayor and disturb her and bring her from her office all the way down here to tell you that it's okay for me to take the boat, Marvin, then I will.
Cut to Jack in the mayor's office. And so, ma'am,
no one likes you, Marvin.
And so, ma'am, I think we'll need some ammunition and other survival supplies, but I don't think we're going to need to take the boat out again.
Why would you say you don't think we're going to need to take the boat out again?
It's a swamp. We don't have a fan boat.
It's not just a swamp. It's a pond.
Yeah, but Jack apparently is not.
I thought we were going to Assy Swampset.
A Swampset pond.
Can I attempt to bribe Marvin?
No, I'm not.
The check was failed. I've already got a boat off God knows where with a bunch of kids on it. Looking at some place for us to run to if we need to.
It's probably not a bad idea.
I might need this boat. I'm down a boat.
How many? Do you want me to go and get the mare? Because I'm sure that I can.
So there's some advantage there. I'll tell you what. We got a rowboat we haven't used in forever. I don't even know if the thing floats. You want to take that? In fact, you can keep the scrap wood.
No, I got a better idea. He goes back into the office and brings out a box.
A box of floaties?
No. He brings out a box. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a cardboard box and it's kind of falling apart, but it's one of those inflatable rafts. This is the best I can do for you right now. And you can tell the mayor, but this is the best I can do for you right now. I'm pretty sure there's no holes in it. Oh, okay. He picks up a bicycle pump. You're going to need this too.
I leave them there and I'm going to the mayor's office. So. I guess we're going to do the bureaucracy game.
Wait for me, Doc.
Does Piper take the bike pump in the...
Yeah, she probably snags it. See you soon, Marvin. Thanks for this.
Yep.
Do we have any dynamite in the settlement? I'll spend a story point.
I don't think this would be a story point situation. Okay. This would be... You guys would need to ask around. And I think this would probably be a negotiation as well. Let me
negotiate.
I would say this is probably going to be daunting with two setbacks.
All right. Well, lucky for you.
I say either that or what is it for, like, black market stuff? Skullduggery or Streetwise or something to find?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure St. Jacoby over here isn't gonna be looking around the black market any for black market explosives. All right. Daunting, that's how many?
Four.
Really nothing that I can use in a social check, but okay.
But if it fails, you can shoot him.
I mean, if it succeeds, I can shoot him. I'm very good at shooting things. Two successes! And two
nice. Hits. Coming through.
I've got some dynamite here, but it's a little damp and sticky. It's like the dynamite from Lost.
You find some dynamite that Piper might be able to get to work if we had, like, some of those, you know, the plastic, like, poncho-type waiters.
Oh, no. That's gotta be the stupidest thing I've ever had.
Yes.
Let's see.
Aw. I put the dynamite in the box with the kid.
Oh, my God.
No.
Wait, you have a kid in the box?
Missed that part.
We bought that with some threat. the kid from the other world, the one who's supposed to return with Kennard and Brianna, his foster family was like, it sounds kind of dangerous, so we're probably not going to send you with him, you know, to where there might be a guy with a robot suit that shoots lightning. And Rob rolled 4 threat on his check to try to negotiate with the guy, and so the kid overheard and he stuck out and he's hiding in the van, but none of us know.
Where is he hiding in the van that we wouldn't see him?
I put stuff in the van. He's hiding in the stuff.
We're going to fight the giant mech suit guy and probably a bunch of other mech suit guys, so the van is full of, like, ammo and supplies. Yeah. And we stocked it all up for the big gun on top, plus all of your guns.
There is always a crate hiding behind those here.
Mm-hmm. He's hiding behind those 4 threat.
Yeah.
That's exactly where he's
right there in the van. There's 4 threat in the van, and he's hiding right behind it.
Yeah, they're Gregory shaped.
You are able to procure 2 sticks. They are ranged light if you're using them as weapons. Damage 10. Range short. Prepare 1. Inaccurate 2. Blast 8. Limited ammo 1. I don't have pierce or breach. They're not really... Yeah. know, yeah, just no, sticks.
It's just a stick of dynamite. If I, you know, drill a hole in the guy and shove it inside the hole, then that's different.
But concussive is pretty, pretty heavy. I mean, concussive 2.
They come with holes. You don't have to drill a hole in the guy.
No, you got to drill a hole. It's a part of the mining thing. Ain't you never been to a stone quarry, Doctor?
All right, so is Marcus just helping Jack prepare?
Marcus is actually trying to concentrate on something. So he is going to...
You pooping?
Nope, go sit outside.
All right, what is he concentrating on?
Trying to figure out if these powers he's been using that are based around nature might be able to use in a different way than he has so far, because it's just been like growing food and turning into animals. And when Jack started talking about explosives, it got him thinking that maybe he can draw something out of the earth. So he's trying to figure out how he can
draw what out of the earth?
Crude oil from the earth. Or sulfur. Because if he can grow food from nothing, why not a mineral or an oil?
So I would say that you think you might be able to do it, but it's going to be incredibly difficult. As in order to even attempt the check, you will need to spend a story point. It will be a formidable check. And depending on the circumstances where you are, what's around you, there's a good chance it's going to be upgraded and probably have some setback dice. It's going to be a very difficult thing. It's not... it's not going to be a simple thing to do.
Nothing ever is.
But theoretically, you think it might be possible.
Okay. So while he's doing that, he's going to practice trying to draw things that are more commonly found in this area out of the ground. Just like practicing.
You're probably able to pull rocks and that kind of stuff out, but...
Well, he'll be like targeting certain kinds of rocks, trying to like figure out how to draw things out of the earth itself. I just don't like the idea of suddenly trying something completely different out of nowhere. It doesn't.
I can imagine like finding a way to, if not, you know, drill for oil, like manifest flint so you can make some burn spells, like an attack spell with a burn quality using
he can certainly use the attack spell and anything mm-hmm. that's applicable. I think the only thing that isn't available for primal on attack spells is manipulative.
Okay.
But as far as summoning it to have some use, why don't you go ahead and give me a daunting primal check with 2 setback.
Okay. Yeah, because the idea I was having is if I summon a pool of oil under him and he uses a lightning attack, it'll probably ignite the oil.
Or at least make it very slippery.
So daunting is 4 purple and a setback, you said?
Yeah.
1 success, 2 threat. Let's go.
Ab.
Nice.
Okay. You take 2 wounds as you focus on the ground and trying to pull up some stone.
Yep.
And you succeed, but the stone like comes out of the ground at like high speed and it almost like it probably doesn't break your hand, but you've got like a bruise on like the palm of your hand where you caught it. Like if you caught somebody's fastball without a gloved hand.
Yeah.
But after that sensation wears down a little bit, it's another one of these white stones with blue and green marbling in it.
Oh, the magic stones, or the super stones, or whatever they are.
Ooh.
Hmm.
The paper stone?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. I am the summoner of stones.
Tune in Wednesdays on Twitch.
Yeah. I will bring that to Piper. Because I have no use for it.
This is a quarter of a unit of raw essence.
Okay.
So
we had four.
Yeah, so you have four and a quarter now.
Four and a quarter.
Four and a quota.
Sweet.
And as in regards to what you're specifically asking, if you just wanted to like hinder somebody, that would be a curse, and that is a little bit beyond the scope of your magic, you think. There are some things that you can do with attack spells that will, you know, like bind people. Like, it's called the ice effect for attack, but it doesn't necessarily have to be ice.
No, it could be vines or whatever.
It could be vines, yeah. So it your attack basically gains the ensnare quality.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking of it to be more of like an incidental AoE, like almost like a defensive AoE.
Yeah, I mean, any serious like pulling it out of the ground, again, it's gonna become a formidable check that you're gonna have to spend a story point for, because it's beyond the scope of your normal magic, of what your magic is able to accomplish.
Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So I think we're going over to Doc running to the mayor.
Yeah, I guess Doc would have been heading toward the mayor. I know Jack said that he had been in there and then he came out to look for dynamite. If I had run into Jack, then I would have just told him what I was looking to do to see what happens. But if I'm not, then I'm probably going to go to the mayor. Yeah. It's tough because we're on a time crunch. I'm pissed that he wouldn't let us take the boat because we are constantly saving the world. But we are on a time crunch, so...
Yeah, Marvin doesn't care about that, though. Come on.
He's got a fish quota to make, guy.
Right.
Right. Also, it may well be that he would be okay with the world ending. Because it ended once, and he just kept on going.
Doesn't matter. I just blew up Doc with dynamite anyway.
What?
I did a test roll with the dynamite, and you were the first target in the target list.
Yeah. If Doc gets into the mayor's office and goes into his spiel about what happened, and she says that Jack said you're not going to need the boat, then Doc's fine with that.
I don't know that I would have actually mentioned anything about the boat because I wasn't thinking about the boat. I was just updating her on the situation, saying we're heading back out. I'm going to be taking a lot of ammunition.
Okay. Okay. So Doc goes into the mayor's office. Well, I will knock, obviously, wait to be let in and all of the the pleasantries. Explain the situation, which she has already been debriefed on by the lieutenant at this point. And to the mayor, Doc would explain what it is that we're going to be up against and why he didn't say it to Martin, because he doesn't want to cause a panic that we're fighting giant robots who shoot lightning bolts.
You mean Marvin?
Marvin, sorry.
I can understand why you wouldn't want to tell Martin. He'd just tell everyone. Maybe with some made-up story about how he destroyed one of the robots.
Right. Right, and then had sex with it. So I want to know, after I explain this to the mayor, one, do I need to make a check to get a positive response from the mayor?
Or is it just the case of the mayor going, I understand your situation, but if my harbor master says he can't spare the boat...
Right.
Go ahead and make a check. It's going to be average. Negotiation again. I'll give you a boost die on it as well. Actually, I'll give you 3 boost dice on it.
Yeah, that was some fancy talking.
2 successes and 1 threat.
That's with the threat tonight.
We're all in a rush, so we're being rude to people.
Yeah.
It's like it's burning bridges. Because if she is agreeing here with these 2 successes, can I use divine magic to like cast a message from the mayor to the harbor master?
Damn. Well,
you the go mayor. Through the whole spiel.
Mm-hmm.
And she just sort of sighs.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish you just like kept the boat with where you keep the van, because you give him things and they become his, and he's very protective of them, as you have noticed. And as she's saying this, she has taken a slip of paper and she has written something on it, and she folds it and at this point, she has like a wax seal. So she folds it and puts the seal on it.
Okay.
Bring this to him and do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring the boat back to him. Just keep it.
Understood, Mir. Thank you.
Take a point of strain as this is wearing on you.
Yes.
He's issued an executive order for the boat.
Mm-hmm. Release the dinghy.
God damn it, Your Honor. This is Welfree distribution, and I won't have it.
Allow the superheroes to use the dinghy to save the world, please.
All right. You're able to go get the boat.
Okay.
You guys are all packed, ready to go, and you're setting out.
Yes.
Okay.
They come back to the van to find me sitting in the driver's seat, ready to drive, concentrating. Probably just going to attempt to use magic to send a message to Julian, as you suggested.
Okay, sure. Why don't you give me, given the potential distance, I'll say that this is... Actually, it's average. We'll call it average.
I was going to say, is it just like, or is it going to be a utility spell that just has a ton of setback for...
Yeah, no, there's a difficulty to it. I don't like the idea of utility spells being simple spells.
Yeah.
Or easy spells. There's a difficulty to it. It could fail. Average. No setbacks.
All right, I'm going to say...
It'd be harder if it was something like you didn't know, or that you just knew of.
I'm going to use natural, because almost all of my... positive dice are blank-sided. 5 successes instead of a failure.
Okay. So, and just 5 successes, nothing else?
Nothing else.
Okay. And what are you telling him?
I'm essentially... I sort of imagine, because, again, like, my sort of
understanding of my magic, even if it isn't correct, is sort of mental based, so I'm probably sending him like thoughts and ideas and pictures, so it's probably just like the essentially the message I'm getting across is that we're going to be going to the crater. We're sending some people there first, but we are attempting to take something that Wilcox wants and spend its energy there at the crater. So Wilcox can't have it and use it for something terrible.
Okay. All right. You, after a moment, receive back. You almost like see him arrive at the area where you guys had initially met him, or not met him at the crater, but the area that he initially brought you to, the edge of the crater. All right. You guys probably arrive at the van just as he is wrapping that up.
All right.
We got everything we need?
I believe so.
Doc, did you get the dinghy?
And then some. I walk up and present the rock.
Oh, God, Marcus! Ah, where did you get this?
I drew it from the earth.
Like, you pulled it from below the earth out of the earth, or like you made it from earth?
Like, I pressed my hand into the dirt and drew it to me like a magnet.
Huh.
All right, this is just weird. This thing shows up in my dream. Now we're collecting them, like, risking our lives, and now Marcus is a magnet for them. They have to mean something.
They must, but...
Have you ever done this type of thing before, Marcus?
No, I was practicing. I had a thought that I might be able to pull useful resources. And it worked. If I can grow vegetables or fruits. Why not this sort of thing?
Piper now has like a side satchel that is just full with these. So she places it in there with the other ones.
How long is it going to take us to get back out there?
I mean, probably not that long. We just drove from there and found a pretty clear route.
Oh, sorry, yeah. This took longer to get ready than I thought it would.
Probably takes you guys about an hour to get there. Where exactly in that area are you going? Because you didn't narrow it down.
We just know the northeastern side of the pond, essentially.
Yeah. Northeastern-ish side is where you were thinking it. Now, so here's an important question. If you guys are operating under the idea that it is on the White Banks, you did not actually go to the White Banks.
Yeah.
So are you going to the spot that you camped out at and taking the boat across the pond? Or are you going to try to find a way to get...
Well, how many roads into this area, or paths into this area, like, would there be?
Into the White Banks?
Yeah.
You don't know. There's nothing marked on the map. At least on the map that you...
Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to ask is if they are traveling in a large caravan, possibly with giant mechs, would we see evidence of where they were headed?
Probably.
I say we go back to where we were, because it's easier to hide the van there. And then if we have to escape quickly, I assume giant metal golems can't swim that well. They might be able to walk along the bottom, but they won't be able to. It might be tougher for them to chase us, and we might be able to escape. if need be.
Okay.
That's sound tactics.
Hmm. Okay.
Because I doubt a place called the White Banks is going to have a good place to hide the van. Or a good escape route if they show up in super large numbers.
So just to be clear here, what you saw from the other side was a large area of very light colored sand. But there were definitely trees past that. There was definitely forest past that. It wasn't like... You don't think there was a particularly large clearing there.
I just meant like there's no building to hide it behind or some sort of garage to put it in. And
right.
No, I like the idea of us having an escape route through at least semi-familiar terrain.
Okay. All right. So you arrive. By this point, it's probably just after midday.
At what point are we going to discover our snow?
You arrive at the spot where you were camped out two nights ago. And Jack, as you are getting out, you go to grab something off one of the crates that you had thrown in the van, and you see all you really see is like the hair on the top of his head, but there's somebody in the van behind your crates, and they're trying very hard not to be noticed.
Right. Is anyone else nearby?
Yeah, you guys are probably all, like, right out there.
Can I catch people's eye without saying anything? I basically want to make the shush gesture.
Yeah.
What's up, Jack?
As you do that, you hear, like, a stomach gurgling.
I motion for people to shush, and then I very slowly take out my pistol with one hand. And with the other, I reach forward to move the crate out of the way. Freeze! Hands on your head!
He screams as you do this and doesn't immediately go to, like, follow your direction, but after a moment, like, after a second, realizes what you said and
puts his hands up
shaking. Yeah,
when I see that it's a child, I...
It's Gregory.
I put the gun down. Gregory, what the hell are you doing? I could have shot you.
Gregory? What?
He's sitting there, like, wide-eyed, panicked, like, didn't think this all the way through.
Oh, man, what the hell?
Son, what are you doing here?
I heard them talking. I'm going home?
Heard who talking?
Me.
I give you the Spock eyebrow.
I went to talk with the Fellmans to prepare Gregory to go with Brianna and Kennard to the crater to meet Julian and get ready for when we found what we're looking for, to immediately go there and use it to send those who wanted to go home back home.
All right. That doesn't explain why he's in the van at the site of what I presume is going to become a very dangerous engagement with an unknown hostile force.
My word.
Well, hopefully not at the van. Hopefully it'll be at the boat at the other side of the lake, where he will not be.
Well, there's a saying in the service, David. No plan survives contact with the enemy.
Luckily for our plan with him, he shouldn't be in contact with the enemy.
Well, he's here now. There's nothing we can do about it. Unless we're going to turn all the way around. So, why don't we just hide this kid in the van when we hide the van?
Oh, I don't... Ooh.
We're feeling pretty good that our van won't be discovered, so he should be fine, right?
Doctor, could you do something about this? And I make that vague gesture he makes with his hands whenever he's talking about magic.
Oh. This is... Oh, Gregory. I understand your desire to get home, son, but this wasn't the way to do it.
His stomach growls again.
Piper will start rummaging around and we'll find some food for him.
I mean, how long does my heroic ability effect last?
The turn you activate it and the turn after you activate it?
This is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what that is in out of combat time.
Out of combat time?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be maybe 10 minutes you might be able to manage. Yeah,
that's not going to do much. You say I could make him a bubble boy.
I'm sorry, I thought...
I understand.
I assume you heard the first part of our conversation. As I was saying to Henry, to Mr. Feldman, that I was planning on sending you with Brianna and Kennard. Because... To where we were going to go afterwards to use what we find to send you back. Because we assume it's safer there, that that's not where they're going. Because there are other people looking for what we're going to use.
You've put us in a bit of a sticky situation is what we're trying to say here.
That's why we're going to ask you to stay here at the van. We've got Piper's made some radios. We'll keep in contact with you, and if you think you hear any other cars or anyone, you know, you can contact us, and we can you can hide, and we can come back. But we're gonna go get on the other side of this pond is where we think the thing that's going to be able to send you home is.
And Marcus and I have abilities that can help further disguise the van. But you have to stay put. This is not a situation where running is going to help you. You need to just stay and wait. Okay?
Okay.
Going on a boat for sure.
I mean, unless you want to walk around the pond.
Or swim across it.
Yeah.
We have not brought Mittens this far in the dinghy. Is it because she won't fit with all of us?
We don't have... Oh, wait, we do have the dinghy.
Yes, we have the dinghy.
She definitely won't fit with all five of you.
Yeah, we were uncertain whether or not it would be okay with just me, you, and Marcus.
Is Mittens waterproof?
I don't know. Technically,
yes.
No, she's water resistant, and I've never quite understood what that means.
It means you can't submerge it, but it can get splashed. We could have Mittens...
the raft, and I'll whip out the raft that I grabbed from Marvin and the bicycle pump.
Yeah, you did take the little raft too.
what's that?
I take out the bicycle pump and I start to pump this thing up.
What are you doing?
I forgot. Marvin gave us a raft.
Hey, what are you doing with it? We have a boat.
But mittens won't fit on the boat.
I look at the boat,
and then I look at the raft, and then I look at mittens, and then I look back at Piper, and I give her the Spock eyebrow.
As you're sort of pumping this thing up, the bottom of it is just like heavier plastic PVC. It's not.
Pool floaty.
It's an inflatable swimming pool.
Right.
No, it's an inflatable raft. It's.
Yeah.
But not one of the good ones.
I mean, it's the 80s.
This is what I'm saying. Not one of the good ones, like the ones that we think of, where you can rip the cord and it self-inflates and gets all... It's not like that.
I probably wouldn't put a big pointy metal cat inside that one either.
That's what I was going to say. I think the cat would pop either of them.
We could tie a rope to mittens and have it pull the dinghy.
So was that a no to the mittens riding in the raft?
Not in that.
It's a giant metal cat and a lazy river float. Like it's not...
Piper, mittens is yours, I think. Perhaps your mittens is. I'm not sure how this relationship really works, and I don't care.
A little bit of both.
But this doesn't seem like it's going to work.
Kind of realizing that. Tyler, are there any holes in it?
No. Once you there's like a patch, but there's no actual holes.
This is great.
Well, maybe, you know, the dinghy's gonna be a little crowded. I could just hold on to a rope and just kind of float behind you guys. A little more leg room. Know what I'm saying?
Probably have to have two people sit in that in order for mittens to be able to come along.
Oh, that's right. We're trying to get mittens to come along. Because she can just stay behind and I can order her to protect.
Gregory. I am pretty certain that mittens could just run across the bottom of the pond as well.
I probably waterproofed her, but I haven't tested it out yet.
I don't know that it matters because she's not actually mechanical. She's magical.
That's fair. So who wants to ride with me in the raft?
Sure.
Are either one of you particularly strong swimmers?
Fine, no raft. I'll leave it for Gregory as a blanket.
That's not what I was insinuating, Piper.
I'm pretty sure I can cover the swimming.
Oh yeah, you could probably just turn into a crocodile or something.
I was thinking fish, but crocodiles are cool.
And a lot more useful than a fish.
Don't forget, this is fresh water.
So an alligator.
Alligator. I'm a doctor, not a marine biologist.
Damn it.
Most of the marine biologists I've met are also doctors.
I know. My daughter is obsessed and wants to be a marine biologist. That's I know all awesome. About it.
So we're going to find some place to park the van, probably south of this pond.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to be anywhere near... The two sites on the west side of it, where potentially they may come to look before White Sands, the lookout or that inn we went to find the book we found.
Hmm. I think that between Marcus making vines or some kind of growth to help camouflage the van... And I don't know if Doc can do anything, shift light or make the clouds move or anything like that, just to cast some shade, like help between the two of us cast an augment spell to like disguise the van.
You don't even need to make a check. You cover it in vines and...
Okay.
If, make sure Gregory knows where the radio to contact us is.
Well, I assume you like hand him one of the actual radios.
Exactly.
Yeah, who's given up their radio?
There is one in the truck, but I don't know if you guys...
No, we'll give him a handheld one that we can show him how it works. Doc would have done it.
And give him, like, something to eat, some... whatever we brought for lunch to help calm him down.
Yeah. Marcus can make him an orange.
Oh, my charcuterie.
And then we'll drag the boat over to the pond.
Yeah.
And get ready to cross it.
Does Marcus transform into a...
Yeah, I'll turn into an alligator.
Oh, nice.
Okay. First thing I am going to need, traveling along the waterfront here, you realize that there's no boat ramp, and at least in this area, it's kind of, rocky embankment that you, to get into the water. So you're going to have to lift the boat down and carry it down into the water. So why don't you guys give me a group athletics check?
Stand aside, gentlemen.
3-1.
I have one yellow and two greens.
I got a green.
I'm pretty sure I have the highest athletics.
3 dice, 1 yellow. I'm tied with you on that.
Oh.
Piper,
oh, I forget.
Flexes,
I started with an axe before I started doing magic.
Yeah, I forgot you used to chop up people like an axe murderer.
Yeah, cut that one kid right in half. I had to sew him back together.
Sure you did. That was a mess. All right, athletics check.
See if we ding up the dinghy.
Please don't. What's
Hey, remember last game when we got like 17 triumphs?
Yeah.
That was cool.
It'll be... we'll call it hard.
It's 3.
Any boost for all of us working? Five of us lifting this thing to avoid the rocks?
Yeah, I'll give you 2 boost on it. Or is everybody helping?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, then 3 boost.
Yeah. All right, hold on to your butts. Hey, 2 successes and 4 advantage.
Okay. You guys are easily able to drop the boat in an area. Actually, you're able to find an area that you think you'd probably be fairly easy to get the boat out as well. That'll be your advantages.
Fantastic. Now we just need to make it there and make it back without destroying the boat in the process.
All right, and Marcus is turning into an alligator?
Yes.
All right, so the stats I'm finding are silhouette 2, so let's see here.
You're not worried you're not going to blend in?
I'm not going to blend in with what?
The complete dearth of alligators available in southeastern New England.
I mean, we've been finding stranger things than alligators in southeastern New England lately.
Excuse me, that name is copyrighted. We can't talk about that.
We've been finding things which happen to be stranger.
Right, but we haven't found any alligators, and so I think if you turned into a dragon, people would be less surprised.
The way that animals have been scaling up since the end, I don't know that we would immediately recognize a normal-sized alligator as being an alligator. and not just a really big salamander.
There's a thought that's gonna linger.
All right. It's going to be a daunting check.
Everything is daunting. Okay, so daunting primal.
Everything is daunting.
Okay, that's everything exactly what was in my head.
I just sang that too.
I literally... Everything is daunting. Yeah.
I'm going to spend a story point to boost or increase.
What a perfectly nihilistic take on current state of affairs and everything.
Go. Jeez.
Yeah.
The fuck sorry. Triumph on.
Somebody read that for me, please.
Three successes, two advantage, and a triumph.
How to load my updated character sheet that I hadn't done in like months.
That's okay.
I was over 100 points behind on XP from all of you.
Encounters evidently have still remained balanced, so it's fine. Everybody drop all your XPs. Get ready for the fight next session.
All right. So, let's see here. Begin again. Three successes, two advantage. All right, so you're going to get a boost.
Into a dinosaur instead?
Yeah, can this triumph be spent to, like, make him a better alligator?
No. He turns into a silhouette 3.
It's just going to make him easier to shoot with lightning.
Alligator.
That's awesome. You're like a mega croc. It's like Lake Placid.
I don't like this.
The crocodile he would have turned into
alligator
was already pretty. I was looking at a crocodile stat block because there's no fresh alligator water. Stat block. They're the same thing.
I'm very sorry, internet.
This episode is called Marine Biology.
Leave it in the comments section, folks.
Silhouette 3.
What? For those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with the silhouette system, Tyler, could you provide an example of some other creature that is silhouette 3?
An elephant.
There you go.
I was going to say our van. Our van is silhouette.
Yeah, right? the van. Yeah, so. Good God.
So I basically turn into a Dinosuchus.
Nice. Or a plesiosaur. No, Dinosuchus is going to be. Yeah, because it's a big alligator. Yep.
Yeah.
We won't need the stats this session. So I will get you.
Marcus is the size of a 1978 Ford Econoline.
Four of you in the boat motor across the water as you are tailed by a massive, massive amphibian.
That would have blended in quite well.
Oh man, what? I wish I could do something that cool like Marcus.
Let's go.
can't you shoot lightning?
You shoot lightning out of a crowbar.
You have a terrifying giant metal cat.
I just gesture at Marcus.
As you close on the beach, the beach slopes up more than your typical beach. Which sort of, as you're looking at this, sort of it puts it into perspective, because when you're looking at this beach from across the water, it almost looks like a cliff. But what it is it's just a kind of a steep embankment of sand. It's walkable, but it's not just kind of like this, a gentle slope. But as you guys are pulling up onto the beach, approximately, let's see, 20 men break the tree line, followed by, I don't know that you actually recognize him, but there is a man flying just above them. Arcs of lightning sort of jetting off around him as he propels himself forward. He sees you all, grins, raises his hands, and more electricity just begins to crackle to life across his entire body. Thanks for listening to the What Comes After podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @whatcomesafter_, and we're on Facebook too. All links can be found on our website, whatcomesafter.net. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and share with your friends. Character art is by Craig Shepard, who can be found on Instagram at @cshepdraw. Theme music is Beyond Part 2 by Alex Nakarada. We utilize RPG sessions for dice rolling and tracking of characters, story points, and initiative. What Comes After is part of the D20 Radio Network and is an actual play podcast using a modified version of the Genesis RPG system by Edge Studio.